नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पाद्विग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमीड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि यथाग्नेर्दायिका शक्ति रामकृष्णेऽस्ति ताह्य सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहं प्रपन्नपारिजाताय रौद्रवेत्रैकपाणय ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृदुहे नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। We are seeing the evil effects of war. Arjuna is describing how great our culture, Vedic culture, Indian culture is. By going for war, we will certainly destroy that Indian culture. This is the opinion of Arjuna, since he was attached to his family members, friends and acharyas. He was going through a tremendous samsara, which is revealed by his shoka, grief, and by moha, delusion. Because of delusion, Arjuna tries to link between the war and the Sanatana Dharma. Whatever Arjuna says regarding Sanatana Dharma as Kula Dharma is certainly a truth. But he is linking that truth, he is linking destruction of that Kula Dharma with the present war. That only we are going to see that it is a result of confusion. In the last class we saw kulakshaye pranashyanti kuladharma sanatanah dharme nashte kulam krishnam adharmo vibhavatyuta. He says kuladharma sanatanah, this kuladharma is very very ancient one. What it is? In our Vedic culture, entire society was divided into four categories depending upon the inclinations of the person. We saw that in the last class. Brahmana Varnaha, a group which is committed for learning, preserving the knowledge and giving it to the next generation. And second group, a group which can rule the land, officials, politicians, Kshatriya Varga we call it. And third community is economical community, which can produce wealth in the society by way of agriculture and by way of business. Fourth one is Shudraha, a supporting community, supporting for all the other three communities. And this discrimination between one community and another community is entirely based on their inclinations, that is guna we call it. Sattva, rajas, tamo gunaha, three gunas are there. If a person is sattvic, if a person is calm, quiet, so that person is available for learning, he can learn, he can acquire knowledge and then he can teach to the next generation. So that person was called as Brahmanaha. For him the duty was Patanam, Patanam, Acharanam. He has to study, then he has to teach, and not only that, he has to implement those values in his own life. That is why in those days Brahmana Varga was always a poor Varga. They did not have much money. They were not allowed to possess wealth. Kshatriya Varga rajasic people, very active people, but backed by sattva guna. Therefore they are unselfish people. They can give up their own life for the sake of country, for the sake of community, that type of people. Vaishya varga, rajasic people they are, but backed by tamas, by selfishness. Therefore they are called business people. You should be selfish, otherwise you cannot be businessman. Then fourth is tamoguna varga. Tamoguna predominant shudra varga. They are always lazy. They will postpone all their duties. So somebody must be there to goading them. Therefore they were given physical activities of supporting all the other three vargas, and all of them are part of the same Lord. All of them were from the same Lord, and for all of them the goal of life is freedom or moksha, we call it freedom from all wants through their own swadharma anushthana. We cannot make a restless man to acquire knowledge, because he is already restless. Like child cannot sit quietly, so you cannot put the child in Indian Institute of Science, it will not acquire any knowledge. Similarly, you cannot make the scientist to work hard in the agricultural field. That man's mind is very powerful, but his health is generally, they are weak. So there is a need, according to their own inclinations, that needs are given, that needs are prescribed. So therefore they were allowed to go in their own way with regard to their duties, but all of them got only one goal called moksha or Ishvara Praptihi. Anybody can choose his own duty according to his inclinations. But what happened? Finding somebody's inclinations from the childhood onwards is very, very difficult, because inclinations are very, very subtle. You have to guess that person, whether this person is sattvic, whether this person is rajasic, whether this person is tamasic. It is very difficult to guess. Therefore, in our Vedic culture, Vedic society, what it decided, they have taken the birth as the criterion. Because in our Veda, there is a karma niyati. Every jiva takes many millions of births. Each birth, it is working out its own karma, and it is growing more and more and getting maturity more and more, and according to its inclinations only it gets a body. If the jiva is inclined to have a meat, a fresh red meat without boiling, he cannot have human body. He will be given tiger body or lion body. So karma niyati, which is divine originated or divine managed, was taken as a criterion. If a child comes to the brahmana body, therefore Bhagavan's wish is the person should grow as a brahmana. Therefore inclinations are being very subtle, and giving samskara should be at the very early age. Suppose there is a child in a carpenter family, teaching that child music. Suppose you want to teach music to that child, so the child should grow up to 6th age or 7th age, then only you can bring that child to the music school. If another child who is born in the musician family itself, from the womb itself, from the womb of the mother, when the child is residing in the womb of the mother, that time itself the child starts hearing the music. These are all scientifically proved, you know. The thought process of mother affects the child even at the time of being in the womb. Starts hearing the music, day in, day after, it goes on hearing the music. By the age of 4 or 5, the child becomes music genius. So giving knowledge is very, very easy if it is given at the very early age.
they are taking into account these two points. One point is inclinations are very subtle and it is going, it may be changing also. One time this may be, this child may be wishing to become a doctor, another time again, as even the child who passes 10th standard, his ideas will change. It wants to be an engineer, then PUC pass means again it wants to be agriculturist, like that it will go on change. So we cannot take it a child's decision as a criterion. Therefore in our society they have decided birth is not decided by human being, birth is decided by karma, niyati or Bhagavan. Therefore they have decided to take the birth as a criterion for the practical purpose. But there were exceptions always. A Brahmana can become a Kshatriya. A Kshatriya can become a Brahmana. Vishwamitra was Kshatriya. He was a king. When he was ruling, he found Brahmana Shakti is more powerful than the Kshatriya power, Kshatriya Shakti. So he wanted to become a Brahmana. So he did lot of tapas. After lot of obstacles, when he proved his capacity of being renunciate and being a calm and quiet person, of being a conqueror of lust, kama and krodha, then he was allowed to live a Brahmana life. And Parashurama Rishi, he was Brahmana by birth, but he started struggling against this. So that time society was overpowered by Kshatriya community. Therefore this Brahmana took the weapon in his hand and he became Kshatriya. So there were always exceptions, but the general rule is you take your profession according to your inclinations. From the childhood onwards, these inclinations given a form, a conducive atmosphere wherein you can perpetuate these inclinations, finally settle with your own profession. We call it Varna Dharma. Varna Dharma has become Kula Dharma. This is with regard to social order. Society was divided into four divisions. And with regard to individual life, Veda has prescribed Ashrama Dharma. According to the age, up to 24th age, the person was considered as a Brahmachari. From the age, 7th age onwards, he had to go to Gurukula and learn all the vidyas, whatever necessary. Dharma Shastra was given to them. Addition to Dharma Shastra, Dharma Shastra means education by which a person can live in harmonious with the society without becoming antisocial element, without becoming corrupt person, how he can lead a normal human being life. So all the varnas were given Dharma Shastra. Addition to that Dharma Shastra, according to the varna of the child, he was given special education. If he is a Brahmana child, he was given Veda, Vedic knowledge. If he is a Kshatriya child, he was given knowledge about war, how to fight, how to protect the land and other things. If he is a Vaishya child, he was given training in how to do business and other things. So first division in ashrama is Brahmacharya ashrama. The very word ashrama indicates that it is a stage of life. It is temporary. It is age based or your personality based. So as long as you are learning, you are considered as a Brahmachari. And next is, when he finishes his education at the age of 24, you just imagine a society wherein there is no boys at all between 7th age to 24th age. How much nice it would have been now. Parents are relieved from the responsibility of dealing with all teenage problems. Because now, big problem in modern society is handling these teenagers. Very difficult it is. Very, very restless they are, very, very ignorant they are. So how to handle these teenagers? In our Vedic culture, 7th age to 24th age, you will not be allowed to live with your parents at all. You will be in forest. There will be some guru or a rishi, he will take care of your child. You need not bother about your child. And the girls, all the girls from the age 7th onwards, they are happily staying with the parent. So there is no threat for their chastity or something. Nowadays there is a threat. Parent of the girl children, they are afraid of what will happen to my daughter goes to school and college, what is happening now, we don't know at all. So about their personal life, parents have big worries. In those days, these worries are not there, because one category is simply removed from the society itself and they was forced to live in forest only. Forest life means very difficult life, no food, nice things will not be given. Tapasya life they have to live. Entire 12 years or 16 years of life they have to spend it with the pursuit of knowledge, knowledge and knowledge. In that way, society was in a safe condition for all practical purposes. When a boy finishes his education, the guru asks the guru dakshina. Guru asks what you are going to do. Samavartana we call it. So if the boy says, I want to become a sannyasi, if guru feels that this person is eligible for that sannyasa life, then he gives sannyasa diksha and sends him. Generally, guru dissuades everybody and asks everybody to marry. And he says, fix your marriage and before marriage come to me and give me guru dakshina. So he had to go and visit the gurudev again, telling that so and so person I am going to marry. Then gurudev gives lot of upadesha. Satyam vada dharmam chara swadhyaya atma pramadaha matru devo bhava pitru devo bhava acharya devo bhava. Lot of rules and regulations he prescribes and says, if you disobey my word, all the shastra, whatever you have learned from me, you will forget. That is shapa. Nowadays you cannot imagine this type of power with the teachers. You go and educate yourself in the college at the third year or fourth year. If the teachers or professor says, hey, whatever I have taught, since you have disobeyed me, you will forget. The boy will tell, what sir, what shapa you are giving. Neither the teacher has this capacity, nor the student believe in that capacity. In those days it was there. Karna was a great warrior. Since he did not know which kula he belonged to, he told, I am not from Kshatriya kula, he told. Therefore his guru accepted him and trained him, Parashurama Rishi. He had a peculiar vow. Generally all the weaponry or warfare was taught to Kshatriya kula only. But this Parashurama Rishi had a peculiar vow. I will not teach any Kshatriya, because Kshatriyas are doing all akramas. Therefore, I will create a separate battalion which is not formed by Kshatriyas, which is formed by either Vaishya or Shudra or Brahmana. So he took Karna as Brahmana himself. So therefore, he taught. After receiving all the knowledge, one day when he found Karna was having that Kshatriya Tejas, that Kshama Tejas, he found that Karna has told lie. Therefore, he gave a shapa also. Whatever you learned from me, you did not use it for you. Karna knew even Brahmastra. Brahmastra means in the modern days, atom bomb you can call. He knows how to nuclear weapon. He had that. But poor Karna could not use it because of this shapa. When a child finishes his education, so the child is asked to become a grihastha. Third category is vanaprastha. After completing all your duties in family life, after getting maturity, everybody was given compulsory retirement. What is the compulsory retirement? Go to forest. Go to forest, live a secluded life. Or husband becomes sannyasi, wife stays in the society itself. In that way, Brahmacharya ashrama, Grihastha ashrama, Vanaprastha ashrama and Sannyasa ashrama. So entire prescription was made keeping one goal as the human goal of human life. What is that? Freedom. Moksha, we call it. Brahmacharya ashrama, Vanaprastha ashrama and sannyasi ashrama, artha and kama are not allowed. Brahmachari cannot keep money, brahmachari cannot indulge in sense pleasures because he is in forest. He himself is Bhiksha, Bhagavadi Bhikshan Dehi case. So he cannot have money. Vanaprastha ashrama also, they are retired people, they are not allowed in the society, so they are in the forest, therefore they also don't have sense pleasure and artha, money. Sannyasi also, of course, not allowed to possess all those things. Only Grihastha alone was allowed to possess artha, will, to have kama, sense pleasures, with lot of duties on his head. Because this Grihastha is a pillar of the entire society. He has to feed all other three mouths. He has to feed Brahmachari by giving donation to the Gurukula. He has to feed the Vanaprasthis and he has to feed Sannyasis also. Where Sannyasi will go for food? He cannot even cook. So he has to go for Bhiksha only. Who will feed? The entire society is full of Sannyasis. Who will feed the Sannyasis? So therefore, feeding all other three categories was the duty of, he has to earn for all of them also, including Brahmachari and Vanaprasthi and the Sannyasi. But all these four categories, one practice was given as a compulsory practice. What it is? Swadhyaya. Brahmachari also should study the scriptures. Grihastha also should study the scriptures. Vanaprasthi also should study the scriptures. Of course, Sannyasi also should study the scriptures. And one more separate practice was given according to their category. If Brahmachari means, he should be in tapas. Along with Swadhyaya, he should be with tapas. For a Grihastha, along with Swadhyaya, he should be in Yajanam. Yajanam means worship of the Lord, all Yagas, Yajnas, and Dharma Acharanam. He cannot violate the code of conduct. And for Vanaprasthi, along with Swadhyaya, Upasana was given, all the time meditating on the Lord, spending the retirement life with the remembrance of the Lord. And of course for Sannyasi, along with Swadhyaya, Jnana Vichara. Swadhyaya means studying the text. Jnana Vichara means knowing the import of the entire Vedic knowledge. What is that? Entire universe along with myself is nothing but the manifestation of the Lord. So this vichara was given as a duty to Sannyasi. Now we will see what is the importance of Grihastha ashrama. Because all other ashramas depend upon this Grihastha only. He is a very very important person. He must be a very very responsible person and very overburdened also. Poor man had to toil here and there and he had to feed all other three mouths. So what is the importance of Grihastha ashrama? We'll see. He is the basic pillar for the nourishment of ashrama dharma and varna dharma. By feeding all other three categories, he nourishes the ashrama dharma by following all the Vedic yajnas, yagas, dharma anicharana. He protects the varna dharma. Householder only feeds the entire society and educates the future generation also. So in the absence of healthy family life, in the absence of a grihastha, a mature grihastha in society, what happens? Dharma never grows. It goes down. Religion never grows. Culture never grows. Of course, spirituality also never grows. And because of this, what happens? Many sociological problems like crime and drug addictions and other things comes out. You imagine a child which is born in a quarreling family. The child is living with the parent up to at least 7th age. So all the time he hears and sees, what he sees and what he hears is only quarreling, quarreling, quarreling. So what happened? It loses the love. Parents' love is not available to the child. Therefore, child fix a certain bad habit and become the antisocial element. Healthy families must be there for a healthy society. Healthy family is a training ground. Is a grahastha ashrama is a training ground in individual angle and in social angle. In individual angle, this very marriage is considered as a pilgrimage towards certain goal. The institution of marriage was a pilgrimage. Pilgrimage means you have a destination there. If you don't have any destination, still you are traveling, you are called a wanderer. You cannot be called even traveler. You don't have any destination, you go to bus stand or a railway station and ask for ticket. Sir, give the ticket. The person in the counter asks where you want to go. Somewhere I want to go, you give ticket. So what will that person will think? Oh, something happened in his mind. So you will not give ticket. Without knowing what is the destination of your life, we cannot proceed further. So in Brahmacharya Ashrama, the destination was given. What is that? Mokshaha, freedom. Freedom from all wants. Freedom from all emotional wants. Freedom from all intellectual wants. There are varieties of wants in human mind. So freedom from all these wants is the goal of human life. Knowingly or unknowingly, all the beings are towards that freedom only. In human life, it is very, very perceptible. One individual, Mr. So-and-so, and another individual, Miss So-and-so. Both are nouns, na? Noun, you know, in English, noun means he is a complete person. The person is called noun. He is a complete person. So one Mr. Noun and another Miss Noun were allowed to live together as pilgrimage co-passengers towards the destination called Moksha. What happened after marriage? In many families, one noun is reduced to adjective. After the marriage, the people say to the girl, forget your family. Forget all your individual agenda. The girl while studying, she may have some agenda, she may have some desires to fulfill. So as even the girl is married to the boy says, hey, you don't have any connection with your family members. So this becomes it, father-in-law house becomes it, your house. So you should be with us. You should not tell whatever happens here to your family members. Like that, husband reduces the wife as an adjective. Adjective, you know, adjective. In grammar, adjective means it cannot stand separately. Noun only can stand separately. Adjective cannot stand separately. Adjective is always behind the noun. So Shastra says, don't convert noun as an adjective or attribute. The purpose of marriage is there must be a fusion between two nouns. Two egos should live together, they should rub themselves, then finally both will become like pebbles. To hard rock, suppose you go on a rub, what happens? Both the rocks become pebbles, smooth, nice one, they become. That is the purpose. You should get maturity by living together. But if husband makes wife as a attribute or adjective, then it is a, we call it calamity. It is really calamity. No noun wants to reduce itself. Nobody wants to give up their individuality. All the family problems, if you hear, we Swami is here. What to do? We don't have any other work. Eh? So when we are free, people come. So if you hear all their problems, what is the problem? That he has not given proper respect to me. He has not respected my individuality. He has made me as an attribute to his life. Some people marry to get a worker, payless worker. Wife becomes a payless worker in many families. In that way, it should not be. We should keep the individuality of both the people alive, then only there is a possibility of maturity. If husband makes wife as an attribute or adjective, it is a calamity. If it is opposite side, if wife makes the husband as an attribute or adjective, you can say, I don't have any words. You can say some destruction or something. So, that is the reason Vedic marriage has 7 steps. They call it Saptapadi. 7 steps. After marriage, after tying the knot, marriage knot, they have to take 7 steps surrounding the Agni Kunda, that Homa Kunda will be there. They have to surround it by 7 steps. First step is for prosperity. We will work together for the prosperity of our own family and for progeny. Second step is for progeny. Third step is for health. Fourth step is for health of husband's parent. Fifth step is for health of wife's parent. That means the responsibility of taking care of both parents lies with them. Then sixth step is for friendship, and seventh step is for dharma anucharana. We will never violate the social order. And after taking Saptapadi, they have to tell these mantras. I should not have learned all those things. But what to tell to you, I have to learn. They have to tell this mantra. Husband has to tell to wife, wife has to tell this mantra. Hridayam te dadami. I give my heart to you, my dear. And wife also should say. Suppose if only one person says, suppose. Hridayam, wife says, suppose. Hridayam te dadami. Already this husband is having one hridayam. So she has told, one more hridayam has come. So this fellow will be with two hearts and that poor girl will be without heart. So both the sides, they should tell Hridayam te dadami. And tava chittam anuchittam bhavatu. Your ideas, your goals, your inclinations, your agenda should not contradict my agenda. So it should come behind me. Both the people should tell that. What is the meaning is, we will accommodate each other. If you like music, and if I don't like music, if I like sport, but still we will accommodate each other. Our personal inclinations may differ, but we have joined in a bond called marriage towards a common goal called freedom. Therefore, we will adjust each other, we will accommodate each other, and finally, the marriage ceremony ends with a Sakya Homa. It's a beautiful concept. Very marriage is for what? For friendship. Sakya Homa we call it. Friendship can exist only with equals, na? Any friendship, a genuine friendship can exist only with equals. Both should be nouns. One cannot be attribute or one cannot be noun. So both should be nouns. Therefore only Sakya Homa was given. Two equals marry each other with a common goal called moksha. Husband being the elder, then you may ask, why wife has to always do namaskara to husband? We never saw husband doing namaskara to wife. In those days, husband being the elder and husband being the teacher for wife, because this girl child has not gone to Gurukula, it has not learnt anything, but at the same time she has to cooperate with all the ved, yaga, yajna. So husband himself teaches the wife. Husband being elder and husband being teacher, respect and reverence was given to husband. But for all practical purpose, they were equal together. And it was more a relationship of friendship or a guru-shishya relationship. See, you see how much elevated idea, the marriage idea which we are having nowadays, very, very contaminated, ugly idea, sense organ based. Or physical base. And Vedic idea, you see, how much elevated. Of course, you are going to have some certain sense pressures, but that is not the purpose of marriage. That is a byproduct. Of course, you are going to have some comforts in your life being husband and wife. That is not the purpose. That is a byproduct. What is the purpose? Purpose is dharma anushthana. No yaga can be done alone by the husband alone. No yaga can be done. Wife should be there. Even giving charity also not possible. Wife should pour water. When husband gives charity to any brahmana, brahmachari or sannyasi, wife should be there approving it. Otherwise, he will call, invite somebody for feeding, but a mother of the house will refuse to feed. There will be problem. Therefore, both should be there. Both should be with same idea of serving the society. Both should be with have same idea of dharma anushthana. Therefore, marriage is a means for an end. Marriage itself is not an end. In our Vedic culture, marriage itself is not an end. That's why it is called ashramaha. Grihastha ashramaha. For what end? As we saw, end is always mokshaha. And nowadays, they think that it is end. Marriage can never be end. If it is an end, it should be an ideal one. Anything which you want as an end, it should be an ideal one. Ideal marriage is never available in the world. Ideal marriage means what? Husband is a person, the boy is prescribing the specifications of the girl. She should be like this, nose should be like this, skin should be like this, with so much of height. And he should give the order. Who is the producer? Bhagavan Brahmaji. When a boy gives order, I want this type of spouse, with all physical qualities, with all mental qualities, with all emotional qualities, all specifications I give. By the time he is sending, you change your opinion about your specification. Because every moment, every day, mind is going on changing. As long as this fellow has not seen some other girl, this fellow is behind one particular girl. Once another girl will come, so the Shastra says marriage is a means. Means means there is a possibility of always errors. Isn't it? You cannot expect a perfect mean. All means are with errors only. So there will be errors on both sides. You might have imagined like that husband I should get. Husband may imagine like this wife I should get. But when you meet together, you will find that your imagination or your expectation was not fulfilled. For that reason, you should not get away. Because this bondage is a sacred bondage. This bondage is not on the basis of artha and kama. This bondage is on the basis of dharma and moksha. So ideal marriage does not exist. There is no mate for each other. There is no mate for each other. Generally we see Rama and Sita are made for each other. But Sita ji could not live with Rama at all. Just 36 years or 37 years. After that, Ramji has to live 11,000 years Rama lived in this world. At the age of 16 he married. 12 years he lived in the family of Dasharatha. Then again 14 years in the forest. After coming back from the forest, 1 or 2 years they lived together. That's all. By the time when Sita ji was just 35-36 years old, that time she had to pass away. She has to go. People did not accept her. People considered her as unchaste. Therefore, Ramji could not keep her in Ayodhya. She was abandoned. And after handing over the children, future generation, Sita ji prayed to Mother Earth, Mother Earth, please take me. After that, Ramji had to live 10,940 years or 20 years. So, though they lived very short period, they lived together very short period, what a great example they have showed. They showed marriage life is not for sense pleasures, marriage life is not for even living together, even for companionship. There may be a situation wherein husband and wife had to live separately, but still they lived happily. Last prayer of Sita ji was, if I get next birth, I should become wife of Ramji only. He was not at all unhappy. If she was unhappy, she would have not prayed in this way. She understood Ramji's greatness. For the sake of Raja Dharma, Ramji had to sacrifice his family members or Kula Dharma. Being a king, he had to oblige to the society, therefore he has sacrificed me, not out of suspicion, not out of hatred. Sitaji understood. So entire marriage life is for moksha. In marriage, you discover mutual trust. There must be a person. There must be a person to whom you should be able to open completely yourself. Human mind needs certain emotional dependence. It wants somebody to relate totally with all total trust and love. So there must be some person in our life. Who is that person? Shastra says, it cannot be father, nor it can be mother, nor it can be children. It is only spouse, either wife or husband. Without mutual trust, marriage life is a hell. With mutual trust, marriage life is a full of relaxation. You have a place wherein you can come and relax. After toiling so much in the society, you can come to one place wherein you can relax. And in relaxation only, peace and calmness are there. In peace and calmness only, a person can grow. In the absence of the goal called moksha, what happened in modern civilization? This moksha goal was removed. Bhagavan was removed from life. If you remove moksha or Bhagavan from our life, what is there? Another three categories are there. Because we saw that four purushas are artha, kama, dharma and moksha. Moksha means Bhagavan. If you remove Bhagavan from our life, what happens? Other three categories, dharma, artha and kama. Dharma also, for the sake of moksha only. So dharma will lose its strength. Then what will be the condition? Artha and kama will reign, will become very very prominent in our life. That will be the driving force in modern society. This is the trouble. They don't know what for we are living. Up to 20-50 years, the boy or girl thinks that I should educate myself, I should get some employment, I should be a earning member. So useful member means one who earns, he is a useful member. That is the concept of present day. Therefore, all the elderly mothers, all the grandfathers, grandmothers are dumped into the old age homes. Because they are not earning, they are not useful. But how much they were useful? Even 50 years or 60 years before also, these grandparents were very much revered. They were useful in bringing up the new child, in guiding the newly married couple. With lot of stories, they will give culture to the child. Because somebody must be free to tell stories. Husband and wife both are engaged in duties, varieties of duties. So they were grandparents who used to tell lot of stories. But now, present day society doesn't recognize that utility. So it is dumping only all the elderly mothers and fathers to the old age. Why? Because in that mind, present day social mind says, if you don't have money, you are not useful. So artha and kama become the prominent one as a driving force. When artha kama comes as a driving force, mutual trust also goes up. Yes, which is important in our life? When I say shanti, peace, calmness is important in my family, then I accommodate with that person. Even though I find the person is good for nothing, still I accommodate with them. Because the person is trustable person. Now what happened? If I find the person is not useful, he if a person doesn't have wealth or something, then immediately there is a distress. So mutual trust will disappear. Therefore, marriage is for dharma vicharana, and by dharma vicharana for moksha. This is the only one more. It is not for companionship. People, now they have an idea. Live in relationship for companionship. These are all ideas, that's all. Live in relationship. What it means? Without marriage, we live together. After some time, what happens? There was no dharma, there was no God at the center of their life, their relationship, only sense gratification. After some time, human mind is always towards new things. So when they find, the person finds that, hey, this fellow is boring fellow, so I will go for another person. So what they say? Okay, let us depart from each other. So that will be the calamity. Mind always wants certain new experiences. If it is for only companionship or if it is for only sense gratification, naturally mind gets bored. Then after birth of children, naturally mother will love the child only. This fellow wants all the love of the mother towards himself. Before marriage, she was loving him nicely. Nobody was there, only two people. So they were loving. Lot of time, quality time, they were sharing. Once a child gets birth means, naturally mother will love the child only. But this fellow demands love. And she is having only 10 rupee love. Or 5 rupee love, whatever love, because any individual has a certain quantity of love. Nobody can love anybody unconditionally. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. Upanishad says, nava are patih kamaya patih priyam bhavati, atmanastu kamaya patih priyam bhavati, nava are jayaye kamaya jaya priyam bhavati, atmanastu kamaya jaya priyam bhavati. Nobody can love anybody unconditionally. There is a condition. There is an agreement. And when both the people find that this agreement can be practiced together and there is a benefit for both sides, then they agree to come together. In that condition, when child comes, newcomer, naturally mother loves the child only, but this fellow demands. And this fellow thinks the child as a villain. Because mother is giving lot of love for the child. So child is converted as a competitor for the father, because mother doesn't love father. These are all problems in the new social order because of absence of dharma or because of absence of God. So it is neither for companionship nor for sense gratification. And some people shamelessly they say, Swamiji, it's a lot of problems, still we are dragging. Why? Because society will condemn us. We cannot separate ourselves. It is a shameless statement. Dragging, it will be a dragging affair. And some people think marriage, institution of marriage, as a new source of income through dowry. Is there an idea, sir? So they will select specification. If you read a matrimonial in papers, so they will be there. So-and-so person with so-and-so qualification, one so-and-so person with so-and-so qualification, working in so-and-so job. So there was an advertisement. I am so-and-so, agriculturist. I want a girl in whose house there is a tractor. That means what? He wanted to marry a tractor. So tractor is the criterion for marriage. It is like, it looks like joke, but it is the fact in our society. People want a specification with regard to job of the spouse, with regard to earning of the spouse, with regard to family. And they say family members should not be there, no sisters, no, because they are headache. So family life becomes a nuclear family. Nuclear family means what? Every probability of bombing. Nuclear family means what? Any time it will explode. So that's why it is exploring. So it is neither for wealth nor for social honor. and not for companionship or sense gratification. So life wherein Bhagavan and Dharma is the center, there only marriage is a meaningful marriage. Otherwise, it is a drudgery. Because naturally the person will not have satisfaction. His criterion is all physical criterion or monetary criterion or some other external criterion. So therefore, human mind will never get satisfied with all these external things. There is only one source of satisfaction for human mind, is either it is Bhagavan or Bhagavan's manifestation called Dharma. This is the important from the individual angle. From the social angle, Grihastha Ashrama, a family unit, is very very important unit in shaping the future generation, in shaping the psychological personality of a child. If parents are not available with their love and affection to the child, naturally the child becomes antisocial element. Lot of studies are going on in the Western nations. These are all very new for our culture, therefore we have not studied much. So thinking people are doing lot of researches. They say 90% of criminals were from the background wherein there is no healthy family atmosphere. Either he is orphan, or he is a child of single parent, or he was not given love by the parent, he was not taken care of by the parent. So psychological personality of a child is very very important for the health of future society. What we call psychological personality? What we call psychological personality? Healthy psychological personality. Healthy psychological personality will have a goal as a destination, and it will have a culture, and it will have proper human values. And these values, culture, and higher goals can be given to a child at the very early age only. You cannot teach a 20-year-old boy. Very difficult. If he doesn't have that inclination towards that, he cannot teach. So in early age, the child is totally available to the mother. Because when the child comes, it finds that it is 100% weak. It is 100% helpless. And it needs the care of mother 100%. Therefore, there is a trust. With mother, there is a trust, 100% trust. When a child has 100% trust with somebody, whatever that person, mother says, immediately child also believes. If mother says, showing a Swami, hey, don't go, he will take you to ashrama, then gone. Never he will return to ashrama. Because we are seeing the color, garba color person. Some beggar may be going with, because this is a uniform for beggars and Swami is also. So see, some beggar might have gone on the road. If mother says, hey, don't go, he will take you, Puchandi, they will say, gone. So child depends upon or believes or has faith, 100% faith in mother's words. Therefore only mother or parent should be very very responsible. Parents have to give this emotional help. They have to provide conducive atmosphere for the child. Child cannot discriminate what is right, what is wrong. Therefore it cannot develop proper values by itself. Child cannot think. Therefore child don't know whether to have a dress or not, na? Only parents are teaching, hey, you are girl, hey, you are boy, you should have dress. Like that they are teaching. So when the child is totally ignorant, the responsibility goes to parent, especially to the mother. And child should be welcomed in the family. For many parents, child is an accident. They never wanted. But what happened? Bhagavan knows some weakness point, so he sends the child. So child is an accident, non-welcomed person. So all the time, go on scolding the child, showing all the irritation. which one another, husband and wife have lot of quarrels and other problems. So where is the place to show childhood? So in our shastra they say rajavat panchavarshaha, the child should be treated like a raja, VIP, very very important person. Whatever the child asks, parents have to give, because after 7th age he is not going to leave it. After 7th age the child will go to gurukula, so he is not going to leave with you. So give, pour all your love and affection to the child. And present day calamity is at the age of 2 itself, at the age of 2 itself child is separated in the name of pre LKG. The child is not KG, it is not having 1 kg weight. But then mother wants to go to employment, she cannot be available to take care of child, and there is no grandparent also, what to do? Put somewhere, dump this child. And as far as child is concerned, it is a great insult for it, because it has faith, trust, dependence on the mother. When mother puts the child into school, it thinks, oh, I am not a loved one, they are not interested in me, they don't want my presence, therefore only they are putting me in schools. Of course parents put schools in order to educate the child. From the child's view, child never loves education, child loves mother only, then only comes education. So they say up to 5 years at least you should treat the child as a VIP. And child should be given higher self-esteem. Small small things it may do, it can do only small small things. What are they? Getting up. Getting up is very normal for us, but child, as far as child is concerned, getting up is very very big achievement. So it wants applause, it wants congratulations, and lot of silly questions it will ask. So we should not say, hey silly, don't talk like this. It is silly for us, but it is very very important for that child. So it should be given higher self-esteem, atma kripa vikali. A person who doesn't have self-esteem, higher self-esteem, who is living with always a lower self-esteem, I am useless, I am good for nothing, I am not wanted by anybody. Even after 50 years, 60 years also, these things are coming out, can come out, subconscious mind. It has entered the child's mind. So after 60 years also, this fellow will be taken care of by many people, but still there is an idea in his mind that I am not wanted, I am not loved by anybody, nobody telephones to me, nobody sends email letter to me, everybody rejects me. It is his own problem, subconscious problem, how it enters when the child was a younger, very tender age, that time these type of ideas entered unknowingly. Therefore only they say parents should be very very careful in bringing up children. There are so many courses for even telephone operators. Telephone operator also, you should have some course, special course, you know, you cannot talk like that. When that much of importance was given to a telephone operator, why not these future mothers should be given, they should be given a training how to bring up the children. All the time engaged in employment or household duties or entertainment. Now an idiot box is there in every house, so it goes on, shows something. Child also sees, nobody is there to take care of me, alright, I also go and sit here with the infant of it. So in that way, with low esteem, the psychological health of the child is affected. Therefore there is every possibility that he can become an antisocial element with all crimes and bad habits. When a child gets love and affection and attention in the family, nobody in the society can misguide the child, because there is a place wherein it can fall back. They call it empty lap. There are new psychological words, you know, in Western countries they have studied lot of means, what is the problem, how to recover the group. They are coming, completing a circle. So they say mother should not drink, mother should not have the smoking habit. In those nations they have these type of habits. So control yourself, don't quarrel in front of your child, don't contradict. Father says one thing and mother says, hey, your father is a fool, don't hear him. Like that father also says, hey, mother, your mother is a fool, So we should not contradict each other in front of the child. Parents should have mutual trust and love for a stable family. Child observes whatever is happening in the family. Child observes. This also a proven theory. Child observes. And if the parents are all the time quarreling, naturally the child gets disturbed and it is brought up with a lower self-esteem. You cannot teach the child verbally by observing the parent. It picks up the model. If parents are not model for the child, TV actress and the sportsman will become model. Now you see, majority, who is your icon? We go to many colleges, schools, we ask children, who is your icon? Invariably, that will be a name of a sportsman or a cinema actor or a... Nobody says, my parent is my icon, my father is my ideal, my mother is my ideal, my grandmother is my ideal. Nobody says, no child says. Why? Because we have failed to give this love and affection, and we have failed to be a role model for them. Healthy society depends upon its members' psychological health. If members are with psychological health, then society also will be healthy psychologically. And members are healthy psychologically because of healthy family atmosphere, because of training at the early age in proper culture, proper values, proper goals and proper habits. Therefore, family life is a very, very important unit. For the maturity of the individual, it is a very, very important unit. And for the welfare of the society also. Family only supplies the future generation. All the, in one place of Vivekananda says, a child which is not born out of prayer of the parent, a child which is not born out of prayer of the parent is a curse to the society. A child who is not loved by the parent, take for example Karna. He was great by birth. His father was Surya Devata. More than him, nobody can be powerful. Surya Devata was his father. Mother was Kunti Devi. In a cultured family, what happened? Situation made her to renounce his child. And that child also with lot of divine protection, Kavacha and Kundala. What happened? When mother renounced that child, it has landed in the hands of antisocial elements. There was a love, there was a shown love from the Duryodhana side. Therefore, Karna became friend of the world. All the powers, all the capacities, and all the goodness, he was a good, very great person. Karna Dasa was. Even Bhagavan had to come and beg at the time of death. That type of person, he never returned anybody telling, I cannot give. Whatever I have, I will give. That type of noble person, but still he landed in the hands of antisocial elements. Why? Because there is a lack of love from the parents' side. Though he was brought up by a charioteer family, but still he never identified himself with that family. Because he felt himself, I am not at all suiting to this family atmosphere. Because Sutra family means, Shudra family means, there is no possibility of showing your valor, showing your Kshatriyatva. But this personality is full of Kshatriyatva. It can challenge the topmost person who was Arjuna in those days. He was challenging. That type of personality was not identifying with the family wherein he was brought up. Finally, he landed in the hands of antisocial element. Bhagavan says, this is the teaching. Mahabharata, Bhagavan says, hey Karna, Bhagavan only reveals the identity of Karna. Bhagavan Krishna only knows who Karna was. So he only reveals the identity of Karna to himself. What a person you are. Your father is Surya Devata and mother is Kunti Devi, mother of all the கிரேட் பஞ்ச பாண்டவா பட் ஸ்டில் சீ யுவர் கிரேட் யுவர் நொபிலிட்டி வாஸ் நெவர் ரெக்கக்னைஸ் பை தி சொசைட்டி யுவர் கத்திரியத்துவ யுவர் பவர் யுவர் வேலர் வாஸ் நெவர் ரெக்கக்னைஸ் பை தி சொசைட்டி ஆல் தி டைம் வாட் சொசைட்டி கேவ் டு யூ a humiliation. Hey, you are Sutta, you are Sutta, you are Sutta. That will be the, that is the recent studies also, all the anti-social elements, terrorists or somebody, you call and interview, and they say invariably, see, we were in that condition wherein we were available for any misguidance. Either poverty made us to join this group or misguidance made us to join this group. If there is a love and affection in the family atmosphere, naturally the person will never go and join. So that is the teaching. Therefore Arjuna says, Grihastha Ashrama is very very important in preserving dharma. Kulakshaye, when family units are destroyed by this war, he Krishna, sanatanaha kuladharmaha pranashyam. This age-old culture, this age-old system, framework, wherein any newcomer can get growth and maturity, wherein entire society is in peaceful atmosphere, this will, kula dharma will get destroyed. Dharme nashte sati, when kula dharma is destroyed, what happened? Krutnam kulam adharmaha abhibhavati. The entire future generation is overpowered by adharma. They are confused, children are confused. What to follow, what not to follow. Father is a Muslim, mother is Hindu girl, suppose. Father wants to eat beef. Beef, no? Beef, cow meat. Mother can never touch it. As a Hindu, mother can never touch it. So, child will follow what? Father is Christian, mother is Hindu, and they are going to celebrate the birthday of the child. We celebrate any celebration by lighting the lamp. Asatoma sadgamaya, tamasoma jyotirgamaya. From darkness, we try to go to light. But in another culture, in the culture of the father, they blow off the light and get the pain. So now child is confused whether I should blow out the light or I should lit the lamp, whether I should cut the cake or I should go to temple. So child is confused. Therefore here Arjuna says future generation will be overpowered by dharma. All those things, these dialogues happened 5000 years before. So now it is happening 5000 years before what Arjuna thought. So now it happened. By this war, we are destroying the family unit. By destroying the family unit, Sanatana Dharma is destroyed. By destroying the Sanatana Dharma, we are creating adharma in the society. Therefore, this war should not be there. This is the argument. Adharma Abhibhava Krishna Pradushyanti Kulatriyaha Strishu Dushta Suvashneya Jayate Varnasam. In the previous shloka, Arjuna told, by this war, we are creating destruction, we are creating a situation wherein kula dharma is destroyed. Now he is giving explanation for that statement. How war is the cause of destroying the family unit? He addresses Bhagavan. He Vashneya, it's a beautiful epithet. In Gita, whenever these addresses come, there is a hidden meaning. He Vashneya means Vrishni Kula Sambhuta. He was addressing the Lord. Hey, you are Bhagavan Krishna. You are a child from this Vrishni Kula. What a love you got from your parents. Because of that only, now you have become a responsible citizen in the society. Now you are asking me to destroy the family. With that idea, you are addressing Lord A. Vashneya. In the war, generally, in those days, war was fought by male gender only. So when the males are destroyed in the war, women become deficient. So they don't have anybody to take care of them. And in those days, women did not have any livelihood also. So keeping that in mind, Arjuna says, when women become orphans, when women become deficient, then what happens? Naturally, men of corrupt nature try to misuse them. Men of corrupt nature try to misuse them. Adharma abhivava kulatriyaha pradushyanti. When raga dvesha, when material gains only the aim of the society, what happened? This family cultured women were overpowered by this corrupt people, male gender, and they corrupt the women also. What will happen if women are corrupted? Srishu dushta asu, when women are made corrupted, varna sankara jayate. There will be intermingling of the caste. It is like my child and your child is quarreling with our child. My child, this lady was having some other family life, so because of that one child she got, and this husband also was having some other family life, because of that another child they got, so both the children are living, and because of their living together, another child came, so all the three children are quarreling. So mother of the house says, my child and your child are quarreling with our child. Can you imagine this atmosphere in this society? Very, very pathetic situation. That's what our Arjuna imagines. War destroys family unit, creates corruption in the family. Because of corruption in the family, children are not given proper culture and values. When children are not given proper culture and values, they become antisocial elements, or their misunderstood values become the values of the society of future generation. They are going to be future generation. So when children are not properly educated, whatever education they had, that will be the values for them. So that only will be the norms of the future society. So family unit is very, very important. We have to protect it with the idea. More details we will see in the next class. कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय हरये परमात्मने प्रणतक्लेशनाशाय गोविंदाय नमो नमः.